charges to haul my goods up to Rhee and the northern cities are ruinous. They claim, and I don't dispute, that such long-distance trips tie up their wagons, so they are not available for the local trade they depend on. I and several others here, he paused to glance at his colleagues, had hoped you would expand your house into the area to ease our burden. Stavin shook his head. I will speak to the leaders of House Sel'Aniston. Perhaps we can reach an agreement concerning long-distance trade, but only if they agree. The trader sat, and another man immediately stood. Prince Stephen, I am Orlan Zel'Yorval, Zelcastle's Counselor of the Arts. We would like to hear the story of how you came by your golden armor. Now Stephen heaved a bored sigh. That story has been written down and widely disseminated. I'm sure you can find a copy of it if you wish. The counselor gave Stephen a mulish look and said, We would like to hear it from you. Stephen slowly rose to his feet and said, I am not a traveling storyteller or minstrel available to entertain you at your command. In an angry tone, This meeting is over. Stephen finished by turning away and started walking toward the door in silence. Now just one moment, Councillor Zel'Yorval said, as he took a step toward Stephen. He didn't finish his complaint. The hiss of 10 swords being drawn at once caused everyone except Stephen and Karvik to freeze. Stephen kept walking out of the room, and Karvik went with him. One tall young guardsman spoke to the startled council. I am Eldik Darvul Orvalan Zel'Karin, heir of Zel'Karin. If any of you advance on my prince like that again, I'll split your heart. With that, the guardsmen sheathed their swords and filed out of the library. Sovi, Lady Serana said as she stood to leave, take your people and your schemes and go home. Your unbroken ass just spoiled whatever plans you had involving Prince Stephen. Then she left as well, leaving Aaron to escort the councillors out of her home. Lady Serana found Stephen in the dining room, helping himself to a cup of kava. Exactly as you predicted, Lady Serana. Sylvie and her council are much too used to being in charge of everyone, Prince Stephen. Even the lords and ladies of Zel'Castle, who take precedence over them, have learned to let them have their way. Those who don't soon find themselves on the wrong side of council decisions that carry the force of law. How so, Lady Serana? Eldik asked, then blushed when everyone turned toward him. Lady Serana gave him a patient look. You are much too highly born to be ignorant of such realities, young man. A council like theirs has the power to force traders out of business, forbid activities, and, most seriously, seize or force the sale of property for the public good under laws of eminent domain. They have done so in the past. House Zel'Aniston lost their warehouse in Zel'Castle because they wouldn't ship for Fel'Castan at the same price they shipped for the family. Stephen looked puzzled and asked, So why do they want me to expand into this area? Because, Master Trader Stephen, Lady Serana said sadly, if your house has a beast in Zel'Castle as they want, they can set your prices, even if it causes you a loss. That ends that idea, Stephen muttered. Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Lady Serana said with a chuckle. There actually is a need, and I'm sure Sindal would be delighted to have House Kalaniston associated with House Zel'Aniston. That arrogant ass was right about why she doesn't like shipping goods long distances. Sindal? Stephen asked, as his head tilted in thought. Tall redhead, a little older than I am? Lady Serana smiled. That's her. She inherited control of the trading house from her brother when he was killed fighting a fire in their grain storage. In the 3 years since then, she's done very well for herself and her house. Stephen bowed slightly. We'll arrange a meeting in a day or two. For the rest of today, I would like to finish visiting the temples. Lady Serana bowed and said, "Of course, but after the midday meal." "Dainis was fixing something special for the council, and I'd hate to disappoint her by not having you here."
"Of course," Stavin agreed with a smile. It was just 3 spans later that Aaron informed them that the meal was ready. Stavin joined Lady Serana and her family at the table as the food was being placed on the sideboard. The cook who had brought Stavin the fish stew came out of the kitchen with a perplexed expression on her face.
"Lady?"
she asked, as she looked around at the empty table. Stavin spoke before Lady Serana could.
"My apologies, Dainis, but the councillors insulted me and I sent them away. I didn't know you had gone to so much trouble on their behalf."
Dainis hurried to Stavin's side and went to both knees with her head bowed.
"You need not apologize to me, blessed one. I am but a servant. You are a master of your craft, and worthy of both courtesy and respect from those you serve."
Stavin replied, then smiled as she finally looked up at him.
"Thank you, blessed one."
She stood and bowed deeply before turning and bowing to Lady Serana. Lady Serana gave Stavin a deep smile, then said,
"Servers, you may begin."
The meal was exceptionally good, even by palace standards.
"This is delicious,"
Stavin commented as he ate, making Lady Serana chuckle.
"Savannah once compared Dainis to the cook in a workman's eatery. Since then, she never fails to get back some of her own by serving truly exquisite meals whenever Savannah comes out here, and refusing, ever so politely, to provide the recipes.
It's a shame she fixed so much when so few of us are eating it,"
Stavin said with a sigh. Lady Marinova shook her head.
"No, Prince Stavin, not really. Our staff eats the same food we do, and so do your guardsmen. Anything left over after they get through is taken to a shelter run by the priests of Alankara the Kind, to help feed the poor. Like your Lady Saren, Alankara sees to the welfare of the poor and helpless."
Stavin smiled across at her and bowed his head deeply.
"Then I think I should stop now. Truthfully, if I eat much more, I won't be able to walk."
"As lightly built as you are, I'm surprised by how much you can put away,"
Lord Arendar commented with a hint of humour. Stavin shook his head sorrowfully.
"I have to be careful of that, Lord Arendar. My armour can't be let out. If I gain weight, I have to wear it tight."
His comment drew chuckles from around the table, and Lady Serana said,
"If you are ready, Prince Stavin, I would be pleased to guide you to the rest of the temples now."
Stavin stood and bowed, and the others joined him. Varric's team had relieved Karvik's team, but there was no way Karvik was going to miss this. Stavin saw and said,
"Anyone who wants to come is welcome."
The rest of the guardsmen, who had been waiting just out of sight, immediately came forward. Lady Serana led them the same direction as before, and Stavin felt that same sense of power and warmth as they passed Arendar the Bright's temple. The next temple was 1/5 of the way around the lake, and the procession gained people as they realized what Stavin was doing. The temple of Serana the Just was the next in line, and Lady Serana didn't hesitate to lead Stavin through the gate. A woman wearing plain white priestess's robes came out of the temple and stopped dead in her tracks when she saw Stavin. When he reached the top step, she bowed deeply.
"Blessed of Arendar, be welcome in Serana's temple."
Stavin bowed but didn't say anything. Where Arendar's regard had been as warm as the sun, here he felt something much different. The sense of tremendous power was there, but the touch was cool and comforting. "It's like my mother's hand on my forehead when I had that damn fever." Stavin walked the full length of the temple but stopped short of Serana's large moon glyph. Dropping to his knees, he bent forward and placed his forehead on the edge of the glyph. He didn't say anything. He was certain he didn't need to. Stavin felt as if he was a child in his mother's arms again. The feeling was so familiar, so comforting, that his entire body relaxed. He took a deep breath and sat back, looking at the glyph for a moment before standing and turning away.
"What did you feel, Steve?"
Karvik asked. Stavin smiled.
"You know how your mum just has to put a hand on your cheek or forehead to make everything all right? That's the best description I can think of."
Varric said, "Zari is going to want a lot more detail than that when we get home."
Stavin shared a look with Karvik, and they both laughed.
"I'm sure she will, Var. I'll tell her everything she wants to know."
The next temple was that of Alankara the Kind. Stavin repeated his obeisance, as he had to Sarana, and again his impression was carried by distinctly familial feeling. Alankara's misshapen moon glyph, matching the celestial body that shared his name, made Stavin think of his grandfather, Carvan. Grandpa Carvan had suffered from a degenerative condition that had left his back twisted and bent by the time Stavin was born. Children and animals loved Grandpa Carvan, and he loved them. We all knew we were safe with him. Stavin retreated from Alankara's glyph with a fond, sad smile on his face.
"I'll write it out later, Var, when I can come up with a coherent way to describe it."
The fourth temple was that of Marinova the Beautiful. She was the goddess of fertility, and the priestess who greeted Stavin was a reminder of that fact. Karvik whispered,
"Gods above."
All Stavin could say was,
"Yep."
The priestess bowed deeply, providing far too magnificent a view down the neck of her robe, and said,
"Greetings, blessed of Arendar. Our lady welcomes you to her temple."
Stavin bowed in return, not trusting his voice, and passed into the temple. This time he knew how to describe the feelings the goddess was engendering in him.
"Now I'm missing Shari. I'm really missing Shari."
Stavin knelt at the edge of Marinova's lamb glyph and placed his forehead against it. He felt Shari as if she was there, holding him, touching him, and... Stavin launched himself back from the glyph, wide-eyed and shaking from the goddess's touch. He backed away, fighting with all his will to master his mind and body.
"Are you all right, Steve?"
Varric asked anxiously, because Stavin still hadn't turned around.
"Yes, yes, I'm fine, Var. But I'm really missing your sister right now."
It took a moment for Varric to figure out what Stavin meant, but when he did, he burst out in gales of laughter. The whole party watched in bemused silence as Varric laughed until he had to hold on to one of Marinova's columns to stay on his feet. He leaned his forehead against the cool stone, and suddenly let out a yip of surprise and stared into the temple. Now it was Karvik's turn to laugh.
"Missing Zarinus, Var?"
he asked.
Oh, wow, that's gods above."
Stavin grinned at his brother-in-law and said,
"Serves you right for laughing.
And I'm glad I'm not the only one she touched."
The priestess stepped forward and placed her hand on Varric's shoulder.
"Our leader's touch can be disconcerting for those new to her worship. Be at ease, young warrior. The swelling will soon subside."
Stavin bowed to the priestess, then turned to Lady Sarana.
"I think we should go."
He transferred his attention to Lady Marinova and bowed his head. He didn't say anything. He wasn't sure he could, but she smiled at him with a sly expression on her face.
"The temple of Ordenda Shandaram is just up the way, Prince Stephen,"
Lady Sarana said, as she turned away from Marinova's temple. Stavin nodded vigorously.
"Order would be welcome after that experience. I haven't had any trouble about missing Shari this trip. At least I didn't until Marinova touched me. But now... oh, I want to hurry home."
Lady Sarana chuckled warmly.
"She has that effect on men and women alike, Prince Stephen. Her place as the goddess of fertility is very real, and you'll find her amulets just about everywhere. In your case, however, I think the touch was more direct and personal. I think all of us,
including the high priests and priestesses, would like to sit down and discuss your impressions with you."
Stavin nodded as he considered her idea.
"And write it down several times, because I'm sure Lord Arendar's friend is going to want a copy."
Lord Arendar let loose a bark of laughter. "Darn is going to demand a full account and access to you so he can ask 101 questions.
I did a little research myself while you were resting yesterday. You are the first person to have been so honored in 730 years. The last was a woman who became High Priestess Feltara del Estan in Luxand, and presided over a resurgence of the old gods' worship during that time. Unfortunately, it didn't last. The worship of Lebowan and Saren, plus a few splinter groups of other younger gods, drew people away from the old gods."
Stavin was nodding.
"I transcribed an old scroll from the last days of the Empire, after Dandar Shandrake left us, that told how the followers of Lady Saren and Lord Lebowan fought for control of the Empire and ignited the civil war that fractured our civilization and created the Seven Kingdoms."
Lord Arendar gave Stavin a thoughtful look.
"I had forgotten about your early education as a scribe."
"A lot of people do," Stavin replied with a grin. "It comes in handy, especially when I run into academics like your friend. I dislike being talked down to, and being able to throw their arrogance back in their faces is remarkably satisfying." "Prince Stavin,"
Lady Serana said to catch his attention,
"this is the temple of Ordenda Shandaram."
Stavin looked at the temple and stopped in his tracks. Where the other temples had been elegant and refined, the temple of Ordenda Shandaram was almost harsh. It was all straight lines and geometric forms. Even the columns that framed the entrance were hexagonal. As Stavin walked toward Ordenda Shandaram's temple, he felt his racing thoughts slow. The priest who met him bowed but didn't say anything as Stavin passed. The inside of the temple was as precisely arranged as he would have expected from the priests of order. The glyph of Ordenda Shandaram was a large square with a smaller square inside, set at an angle to form triangles in the corners. Stavin knelt and placed his head on the glyph where the inner square touched the outer. Stavin recognized the touch of this god as well. It was the calm, ordered touch of Master Scribe Kel'Zorgan.
"Thank you, Master, I needed that."
Stavin stood and bowed deeply, as if he was facing his old craft master, and then turned and walked away with his mind as clear as a winter's morning. Lady Serana smiled when she saw his expression.
"Did Ordenda Shandaram help you, Prince Stavin?"
"He did," Stavin answered.
"With your permission, Lady Serana, I would like to return to your library and write all this down while it is fresh in my mind. If any of the priests, priestesses, or scholars wish to see me and discuss this, I would appreciate it if you would tell them to return after the midday meal tomorrow."
Lady Serana bowed and said,
"As you wish, Prince Stavin."
Chapter 7 Two spans later, Stavin sat alone at a table with an inkwell, a quill, and a stack of blank parchments. Through the rest of the day and late into the night, he detailed everything he could remember of his encounter with those most powerful of beings. Karvik entered the library cautiously, not wanting to startle his friend into a mistake, and shook his head slowly as he resisted the urge to laugh. Stavin was asleep in his chair, head pillowed on one arm and a quill in his hand. It was a pose that he had found Stavin in many times before. Karvik moved close and closed the inkwell, then gently pulled the quill out of Stavin's fingers.
"How? What?"
Stavin asked in a confused tone as he half awoke.
"It's time for you to go to bed, Stave, and wash your face. You got ink on your nose again."
Stavin sat back and looked at the page he'd been working on. There was a large blur where he had nodded off. He grumbled,
"I hate it when I do that. Now I have to rewrite the whole page."
"Tomorrow," Karvik all but ordered. Or, to be more accurate, later today. Now go.
Stephen obeyed. He was too tired not to. Aaron met him and helped him with his clothes, and provided a solution that removed the ink from his nose without removing his skin. Stephen snapped awake some time later. Karvik was in the chair across the door reading a book, and there was no sign of Aaron or the other servants. He didn't know what had awakened him. Settling back, he thought of the day's encounters. The touch of each of the gods above is so familiar. He suspected that Lord Arendar's friend was entirely correct. The gods above were deeply involved in the day-to-day life of their people. Father, mother, grandparent, lover and teacher, each influencing the next generation in some way. There was no one to compare notes with, but he was sure Feltara del Esten had felt much the same as he did.
"Want to talk about it?"
Karvik asked, without looking up from his book. Stephen chuckled.
"Can't fool you, can I? How did you know I was awake?"
Karvik closed his book and gave Stephen an intense look.
"You stopped snoring."
Stephen gave him a hurt look and asked,
"I don't snore all the time, do I?"
"Only when you're asleep,"
Karvik answered with a grin. Stephen got up and put on the same clothes he'd worn the day before.
"I recognize the touch of each of the gods, Kar,"
he said, then went on to explain what he'd been thinking.
"So what we call our nature, or our instincts, is really the gods above acting through us?"
"Yes, I think it is. But I think it's the gods below as well. Think about some of the things we've seen and experienced. The men who stole our mana."
Stephen paused as a pain he would never be rid of stabbed his heart.
"Those child sellers and the men who buy those children, that's not from the gods above."
"No," Karvik agreed. "Pain, terror, and sorrow are more like it."
"Yes. Unfortunately, as certain as I am that the gods above are always with us, I'm equally certain that the gods below are every bit as active. All it takes is for one of them to gain a little extra influence, and you end up a bandit, a warlord, or at a child brothel."
Karvik thought for a moment before quoting the Code of the Warrior.
"The truly evil don't know they are evil. They are just following their natures."
Stephen nodded as a sad expression crossed his face.
"Even some of the people I've counted as friends are like that. For all the help Madame Elaine was to me, the gods below influenced her an awful lot."
"Too true," Karvik agreed. "Now you, on the other hand, are far, far more deeply influenced by the gods above. But you're not going anywhere like that."
Karvik shook his head slowly.
"You need a bath and a change of clothes."
Karvik pulled the bell rope, and it was a matter of moments before Aaron and his staff arrived.
"You summoned us, blessed one?"
Stephen nodded and said,
"I'm expecting the priests and priestesses to come visit today. Probably some scribes and scholars as well."
Stephen looked at his wardrobe and shook his head.
"I should have brought more clothes, but I didn't imagine anything like this happening."
Valet Orden bowed deeply as he stepped forward a little.
"With respect, blessed one, we may be able to do something about that."
Aaron was looking at his helper, and when Orden looked at him, he indicated that he should continue. Orden bowed deeply to Stephen, then said,
"Blessed one, Lord Arendar's son, Rodar, left a full wardrobe here when he went away to the university in Rhee. At the university he is required to wear the colors of his class."
He glanced at his master and received another nod of encouragement.
"The thing is, blessed one, when he returned for midwinter that year, none of his clothes fit him. He'd grown two hands in just 10 moons. He's as tall as Lord Arendar now." "And you think his old wardrobe might fit me?"
Stephen asked. Orden bowed again.
"I believe so, blessed one. Even at just 10 and a half years of age, Lord Rodar was as large or larger than you, blessed one."
Stephen gave Karvik a sour look.
That's because I stopped growing at that age. Very well. I will ask Lord Arendar at the morning meal. For now, what's clean?
He asked, as he looked at his wardrobe.
Aaron answered, The blue shirt and brown pants, Prince Stephen.
Stephen grimaced.
They really don't go together that well.
Wear your underpadding and meal, Karvik suggested. Prince Stephen, that would be...
Aaron began, then stopped himself.
Actually, that might not be as bad an idea as I originally thought, Prince Stephen. Arendar the Bright is normally depicted all in gold.
Stephen considered the idea, then nodded. But a bath first. The four junior servants followed Stephen into the bathing room while Aaron laid out the armor. Stephen, contrary to his customary habits, washed quickly and was back in the main room of the suite in a matter of moments. He had wriggled into his underpadding and was squirming into his mail when he saw the servants quickly back away and go to their knees as Karvik muttered,
"Oh, gods above!"
What?
Stephen asked.
You're glowing again. Not like when you pick up the sword, but brighter than when it's just near you.
Karvik shook his head.
We can't take you anywhere.
Hey!
Karvik grinned, then laughed.
This alone is going to convince our hosts that you need more clothes.
Stephen shook his head and finished putting on his mail.
How early is it?
Aaron answered when Karvik didn't.
It is just a few spans till first light, blessed one.
Stephen looked at Karvik and said,
Back to the library until the morning meal is ready.
Karvik turned away and opened the door.
Prepare yourselves, men. Prince Stephen has done it again.
Stephen followed Karvik out of the suite, and the glow was even more pronounced in the dimly lit hallway. Muttered curses mixed with laughter as the men formed up behind their prince. Stephen was the first to reach the ground floor and be seen. A maid saw him coming and went to her knees as she covered her face with both hands. Stephen shook his head as he walked past her without saying anything and went to the library. The smudged parchment was right where he had left it, and he shook his head sadly as he assessed the damage.
It's just as well that I did smudge it. I can't even read what I wrote there at the end.
Stephen was halfway through the page when Lady Marineva peeked into the library.
So it's true,
she whispered. Stephen looked up from what he was doing and smiled, then waved for her to come in.
Good morning, Lady Marineva. Yes, it's true. I didn't have a tasteful outfit to wear, so I put this on.
He rubbed the mail on his chest.
I didn't expect the glow.
Lady Marineva came into the library and bowed deeply.
Blessed of Arendar, she whispered. This will remove any doubt.
Stephen grimaced.
I'd prefer to keep this a family matter if we can,
he said as she finally came forward. She looked puzzled and asked,
How so?
Stephen looked uncomfortable.
I need more clothes, especially now.
He gestured to his armor.
Valet Orden suggested that I approached your father. It's my understanding that your brother Rodar left clothes here that might fit me.
Lady Marineva looked startled for an instant, then smiled.
Rodi did leave everything here when he left Faerie. Orden was one of his servants at the time.
She paused in thought for a moment.
I think most of it is still in his room. With your permission, I'll go talk to Dad about it.
Stephen bowed and said,
Thank you, Cousin Marineva.
Now Marineva's expression softened.
You're very welcome, Cousin Stephen.
Then she bowed slightly and left. Lord Arendar came to the library less than a span later.
That's a very dramatic effect, Cousin Stephen. I've had Rodi's old wardrobe taken to your suite. It'll still take some sewing by your servants and ours to make them fit you. Rodar had already started his growing spurt when the clothes were made.
Thank you, Cousin Arendar. At least they're too big. It's a lot easier to take clothes in than to let them out.
Lord Arendar looked puzzled.
How do you know that?
Stavin chuckled.
I have 2 older brothers and 3 older sisters. Most of the clothes I grew up in were hand-me-downs or cut-me-downs from my brothers. The few that were made to fit me were made by my mother and sister after I stopped growing.
Indeed, Lord Arendar said in a thoughtful tone. I keep forgetting that you were not born a prince. In any case, the morning meal will soon be ready.
Then let's not keep it waiting, Stavin replied. I've been up since well before first light.
Lord Arendar turned away with Stavin right behind him. Lady Serana was already in the dining room and looked Stavin up and down critically.
Maraniva told me, but it's still something of a shock. I'd love to see Sovi's face when she gets a look.
She grinned wickedly.
And a few others as well. But for now, let's get you fed so you can go change.
Stavin bowed and said,
Thank you.
Lady Maraniva came into the room and bowed.
Cousin Stephen, the staff is, well, curious. Would you mind if they came in to see you?
Stavin laughed, then nodded. Lady Maraniva led the way as every member of the estate staff filed through the dining room, pausing to kneel briefly before hurrying out of the room. Lady Maraniva finally took her seat and said,
Thank you, Cousin Stephen. Many of them were trying to see you, but were too afraid to approach.
Lady Serana was giving her granddaughter a very intense look.
I hope you were courteous enough to ask Prince Stephen's permission to address him in that manner.
Stavin answered, Since I have become a beggar in your house, playing on our relationship no matter how distant, I think it's appropriate, Cousin Serana.
Have I been left out again?
Lady Serana asked, looking at her son. Lord Arendar nodded.
Not intentionally, Mum. Cousin Stephen is in need of more clothing, and Rudy's old wardrobe is close to the right size.
Oh!
Lady Serana said in surprise.
Is that what the noise in your suite was all about?
Yes, Mum. Aaron will be supervising the alterations after the morning meal.
He glanced at Stavin and grinned as he said, We can't have him walking around lit up like a glowbug all the time. Lady Serana was obviously shocked, but Stavin just laughed.
Barville once suggested that I wear my armor and carry the sword of Zelhallan all the time so we could save on candles.
Karvik said, It would have worked. Lord Arendar shifted his attention to Karvik and asked,
Major? The Barville Stephen is referring to is my father. The incident happened while we were pacifying for India.
Stavin chuckled.
War Master Kilcarin and Karvik have been at my side in one way or another since my first expedition. That's all been written down before. Let me tell you what I think about what happened during the last 2 days.
Stavin spent the morning meal explaining his feelings and conclusions to everyone.
So I think your friend Dan and I are going to be spending quite a bit of time together.
Lord Arendar chuckled.
Oh, yes. I'm sure he's going to demand exclusive access to you for a moon or so.
Stavin smiled and shook his head.
I only planned 10 days, Imri, but, like here, I can stretch it to a maximum of 14 days without disrupting my timetable. He'll have to be satisfied with the few spans at a time between my meetings with the king's ministers.
When the morning meal was completed, Stavin returned to his suite to find Aaron in charge of 11 servants, men and women, who were there to alter the clothes to his size. Stavin reflected later on that it was a good thing he wasn't bashful. The maids and valets dressed him in one outfit, pinned it to fit him, then stripped him to repeat the process with another outfit. Sometime during the morning, 4 more men and 7 more women joined them, along with 17 boys and girls.
Aaron explained, Lady Serana sent for every tailor and seamstress in Aniston, blessed one. They don't know why you need a complete new wardrobe, they just know that they are getting a chance to serve the blessed of Arendar. I'm sure they and their apprentices will be bragging of this day for the rest of their lives.
Stavin rolled his eyes and sighed deeply, but ended up laughing.
Make sure I get a chance to thank each of them individually.
Aaron bowed deeply as he replied,
As you command, blessed one.
It was just before midday when Stavin was presented with 21 very nice outfits that fit like they had been made for him. As requested, Aaron led each of the seamstresses and tailors to his side for a moment before they left. Even the apprentices received a smile and a kind word before they were led away by their masters. Finally, the crowd in the suite dwindled to just Stavin, Varric, and Aaron's staff. Aaron bowed and asked, "What shall we lay out for you, blessed one?" Stavin looked at his new wardrobe for a moment, then picked out a bright gold silk shirt and deep golden pants.
"I think these will do for meeting the priests, priestesses, and scholars."
Aaron bowed, then motioned his helpers forward, and Stavin was dressed in just a few moments. Stavin nodded his approval as he looked in the mirror. This should impress them. Turning to Varric, he asked,
"What do you think?"
"Impressive. Impractical, but definitely impressive."
Stavin chuckled as he started toward the door.
"Thank you, Aaron. Thank all of you, and please convey my thanks to the rest of the staff as well."
Aaron and his assistants bowed deeply as Stavin left the room. In the dining room, Stavin found all three of his hosts present, and they bowed as he entered. Lord Arendar looked him over and nodded.
"That outfit is very appropriate, Cousin Stephen. Every priest, priestess, scholar and scribe in Aniston, and quite a few from Zell Castle as well, are waiting for you."
Stavin winced.
"How many?"
he asked in a soft, timid tone. Lady Serana just laughed for a moment before saying,
"Only 57 of them, Cousin Stephen."
Stavin covered his face with both hands for a moment before saying,
"This is going to take all day." "And probably tomorrow as well,"
Lady Serana agreed. Lady Serana's estimate was much too conservative. Stavin spent 3.5 days being questioned and tested as to every aspect of his encounter with the gods above. His conclusions were discounted where they weren't outright rejected. Stavin kept his temper in check until the priest of Arendar said,
"Your thoughts on this are really irrelevant. You're neither a priest nor a scholar."
Stavin half rose from his seat as the room fell silent.
"You arrogant ass,"
he growled.
"You think that because I've actually done something in my life that didn't take place in a temple or university, that my thoughts are irrelevant? I'll remind you that you are not the one who felt Arendar's touch. These discussions are over."
With that, he finished standing, straightened his shirt, and turned away. The priest drew himself up to his full height and demanded,
"Who are you to speak to me in that manner?"
"He's the blessed of Arendar, you arrogant ass,"
one of the priestesses snapped back. The priest turned on her and shouted,
"You will not speak to me in that tone."
"I'll speak to you however I want to, Delan Beljastal. Prince Stephen is the true blessed of Arendar, not you."
The room dissolved into a shouting match, but Stavin continued out the door. Lady Serana was walking toward the noise, but stopped when she saw Stavin.
"What got them all stirred up, Cousin Stephen?"
she asked.
"I got fed up with being told that what I learned directly from the gods above isn't as valid as what's been written down by those who never felt their touch."
Lady Serana shook her head.
"Fools. If you are through with them, I'll send them on their way."
Stavin nodded and continued on to the dining room for a cup of kava. It wasn't long before he heard Lady Serana ordering people out of her house. Varric peeked around the doorframe and turned to grin at Stavin.
"She just escorted that priest out. I get the impression that he's afraid of her, because he apologized the whole way."
Stavin chuckled and sipped his kava. When the noise had subsided, he went back to the library to find Lady Serana speaking with one of the priestesses.
"Prince Stavin,"
she said as soon as she saw him,
"allow me to introduce Amelie Zell Aniston, priestess of Arendar."
Stavin bowed his head as the priestess bowed deeply to him.
"Blessed one,"
she began.
I beg your forgiveness on behalf of myself and my fellows. Delan Beljastal has always claimed that he was the blessed of Arendar, but he was never touched as you were.
She paused and shook her head.
He is half convinced that you are going to replace him as the senior priest in this temple.
Stavin took a deep breath and blew it out slowly.
Why does everyone always assume I'm after their job?
He asked the room in general.
In general, blessed one,
the priestess answered.
It's because you're better qualified than they are, and in this instance, you most certainly are.
Stavin shook his head sadly.
Maybe when I leave he'll be reassured. Until then, I think it's better that he stays away from me. I may not have all the anger I arrived with, but I don't take being spoken down to or dismissed as irrelevant well. Not well at all.
Karvik looked at him and grinned. At least you didn't challenge him for insulting you.
Thought about it,
Stavin muttered. Karvik shook his head. You know what the king said. Lady Serana was once again looking exceptionally curious, so he explained. King Keelin ordered Stavin not to issue any challenges, and to refer any challenges he received to me or Varric. As touchy as he was a few days ago, especially about his knowledge as a scribe, he would have challenged that fool, and I would have faced him. Varric said softly, that's family honour. Stavin chuckled. And your second red stripe? Varric smiled and shrugged. Even the worst storm brings rain to the fields. Chapter 8
Indeed,
Lady Serana said as she nodded to Varric.
Cousin Stephen, Sindal came by yesterday to discuss trade, but you were still involved with your religious discussions. Would it be convenient for her to come back after the midday meal?
Certainly,
Stavin agreed with a bow.
I always welcome the chance to talk to someone sensible.
Sindal Zell Aniston arrived a span after the midday meal. Her bright, dark copper-coloured hair was tied back in a no-nonsense bun, and she was wearing a dark green dress under her master trader's vest. She bowed deeply to Stavin as soon as she entered the library.
I am honored that you would see me, blessed one.
Stavin laughed, surprising her.
Can we please put that aside for a while, Cousin Sindal? We are both master traders for the purpose of these discussions.
She inclined her head slightly.
If that is your wish, Master Stephen, Serana and I have already discussed the Zell Castle Council's proposal.
I thought she would. She warned me about establishing a base of operations there, so I'll be establishing one here, with Lady Serana's permission, of course. He paused to grin at her.
My thoughts were to place a branch of House Calaniston as a subordinate to House Zell Aniston.
How subordinate?
Master Sindal asked.
Almost completely, Stavin answered, and then explained. It is my understanding that you prefer not to ship long distances. I was thinking, based on Cousin Serana's comments, that House Calaniston could see to that.
You are thinking of supplementing us rather than competing with us?
Stavin bowed slightly and said, yes. A lot of tension drained out of Sindal's posture at his answer.
I was afraid we were going to be fighting over customers.
Stavin chuckled.
I think Councillor Felcaston was hoping we would. I thought it would be better for you to keep your established trade and add some wagons from Calaniston for the long-distance trade. What I don't know is how many wagons we need.
Master Sindal was quiet for a moment, and then she said,
20.
Stavin nodded and wrote a note.
Very well. What type? Open cargo or enclosed?
Open cargo, large ones. Most of the goods going north are big, bulky items like furniture.
Stavin again wrote a note.
When I go, or perhaps when we go to the Wainwrights, I have an idea. In Lux I saw a large wagon with an enclosed seat. It took up about 3 cubits of the cargo box, but had 2 bunks behind the driver and a third over the driver's head.
Staving grinned at her thoughtful expression.
I already sent instructions back to Valavad to have some of my wagons modified like that.
So they are like an extended trader's wagon.
That would certainly be better than sleeping on the ground or in a tent,
Lady Serana observed from the side. Stavin nodded.
More secure as well. And more expensive,
Trader Sindal said with a thoughtful expression on her face. Stavin nodded with a rueful expression.
The Wainwright I talked to is charging more for one of these than for a fully enclosed wagon,
he admitted.
How much are you looking to invest in this venture, Cousin Stephen?
Lady Serana asked.
At least enough for 20 wagons and teams. How much will depend on the Wainwrights and livestock traders?
Lady Serana was nodding as Stephen spoke.
We have 2 Wainwrights here in Arniston, and by we, I mean they are also cousins. As for teams, we can probably see to that as well. Do you want mules or oxen?
Stephen said, mules. At the same time, Trader Sindal said, oxen.
Oxen?
Stephen asked.
Yes,
she answered.
Mules are faster, but the route north crosses several mountain passes that need more strength than mules provide, unless you opt for 4 or 6 mule teams.
Stephen was writing as he said,
oxen then. Is there a chapter house of the gold merchants in Arniston?
No,
Lady Serana answered.
You'll have to go back to Zell Castle for that.
At Willweet. Sindal, are you thinking of 1 or 2 caravans?
4,
she answered with a grin.
5 wagons each with 3 caravans on the road all the time.
Stephen shrugged.
Then I will need at least 8 masters.
8?
Lady Serana asked. Stephen told the sad story of how and why House Calaniston had been founded.
It was excessively inconvenient not having a second master along so I could leave the caravan for a while.
Renedia does not have that rule, Cousin Stephen.
Trader Sindal said as she looked at Lady Serana. Stephen shrugged.
I'd still prefer to have 2 masters with every caravan. Luxandia and Caravia do have that rule, and you never know how far a caravan will have to travel.
As you wish,
Trader Sindal smiled, as she nodded her head deeply.
Masters are something else I am going to need your help with, Master Sindal.
How so?
Stephen smiled.
I'd like to keep this in the family if I can. Does House Calaniston have someone who is close to getting their vest, who I can sponsor to House Calaniston?
We have several, Master Stephen,
Master Sindal answered.
From both Clan Zell Aniston and Clan Kel Aniston.
Stephen looked curious, so she explained.
Our masters are almost always from Clan Zell Aniston, and our guards are always from Clan Kel Aniston. The wagons are driven by Fel Anistons and Bell Anistons, and we always bring along a strong young Del Aniston for each wagon. Sometimes, though, one of the guards develops an interest in trade, and we sponsor them to the guild.
Stephen grinned and said,
Sounds familiar.
Indeed,
Master Sindal agreed with an answering grin of her own.
Right now I can think of 5 young Zell Anistons who are ready for their vests, and 2 not-so-young Kel Anistons. That only leaves us 1 short, but I'm sure I've forgotten 3 or 4.
Stephen sat back and nodded.
That will do. You've already answered my next question, which was going to be about guards. So I guess the next question has to be where my base of operations is going to be.
He turned toward Lady Serana and found her nodding.
I have been considering that question, and I have an idea that might work. Cousin Nestal has a large warehouse that he wants to sell.
Trader Sindal was nodding.
We looked at it once, but it was too big, and he wanted too much for it. For you, however, it might be just right.
Stephen was shaking his head slowly.
I really need to go see the gold merchants.
Lady Serana shook her head.
It's too late to get there and back to D, Cousin Stephen.
Tomorrow, then, Stephen agreed, and then looked toward the door and called out, Va! Varric stepped into the room.
Yes, Prince Stephen?
We're going to Zell Castle tomorrow morning, there and back. Have both daylight guard teams ready in the morning.
Varric bowed and said, Yes, Prince Stephen, then stepped back out of the room. Looking at Sindal, Stephen asked,
What bond does the Traders Guild demand for Master's credentials? 100 gold crowns, Master Stephen,
she answered. Stephen nodded and wrote again.
Very well. I'll be withdrawing 2,500 gold crowns from the gold merchants, and what's left over after everything's paid for will remain here for unexpected expenses.
Sindal was shaking her head slowly.
Better make it 3,000, Master Stephen. Nestal wants 360 gold for the warehouse.
Stephen was surprised.
Is it worth that much?
No,
Lady Serana answered.
It's worth about 300, but he's pushing for a profit.
Stephen nodded.
I can't begrudge him that, or at least I won't. So, 3,000 gold it is.
With that, the meeting broke up, and Stephen retired to the library for a quiet evening, continuing to detail his experiences and impressions. The next morning, Stephen and Karvik led the guards out of Anniston before the sun had cleared the hills.
I want to get in and out as fast as we can,
he told Karvik as they rode.
Do you have any directions to the gold merchants?
Yes, but that's also why Captain Cull Anniston is with us.
He glanced back to where the captain was riding between two guardsmen.
He knows the back way so we can avoid the mayor and her council.
The ride to Zell Castle took just 9 spans, and they didn't push their horses getting there. Stephen signalled Lovan up to the front when Zell Castle came into view.
All right, Cousin Lovan, lead the way.
The captain bowed in the saddle and took the lead.
The commoner's gate is usually manned by the lowest of the city guards. Important visitors use the chosen gate.
Stephen chuckled and shook his head.
Just like twin bridges.
Lovan slowed his horse to a walk as he approached the gate.
Make way for the Blessed of Arendar,
he commanded, and the two men at the gate backed away from the road until they ran into the walls. Stephen bowed his head to each guard as he passed, and the men fell to their knees and bowed their heads in supplication. Captain Kel Aniston led them through a rabbit warren of narrow streets and ramshackle buildings until they turned a corner and emerged into a wide thoroughfare.
The gold merchant's chapter house is just ahead, Cousin Stephen.
Stephen and Karvik exchanged a look and shrugged.
Good thing we brought him, Karvik said as he looked around. I tried following the directions and still couldn't keep track of where we were.
Stephen chuckled.
Neither could I,
he replied softly. The gold merchant's chapter house was immediately obvious once it came into view. There were 4 armed guards at the door. The entire company came to a stop and dismounted as the guards urgently pounded on the door. It opened and 10 more guards came out to block the steps.
What do you intend here?
One of the men demanded.
I intend to withdraw some gold from my account,
Stephen answered as he walked forward. The men looked at him with a mixture of awe and reverence as he approached the steps with Karvik and Varric by his side.
You're the Blessed One, the Blessed of Arendar,
the leader stammered. Stephen bowed his head slightly.
I am.
The leader fell to his knees at the base of the steps, and his subordinates followed his example.
Blessed One, we are yours to command.
Stephen stopped just a handspan away from him.
You men have an honorable profession, and should continue to protect your employers. Rise now, and someone go tell the gold merchants that I am here.
The men stood and came to attention. The leader towered over Stephen, matching Karvik's impressive height. He bowed, then turned, and went up the steps and into the building. It was just a matter of moments later that 6 impressively dressed men and women rushed out of the building. Each of them fell to their knees as soon as they faced Stavin.
"What are your needs, blessed one?"
"I need to withdraw 3,000 gold crowns from my host Kal'Aniston account. A good part of that can be in drafts rather than coin, so perhaps we should go inside."
The merchants cautiously rose to their feet and bowed.
"Of course, blessed one, of course. But what of them?"
Stavin tilted his head to the side and said,
"My Royal Guards detachment. 5 of them will be coming inside with me. The rest will remain outside."
Karvik stepped forward and said,
"While we have no reason to suspect any of your guards, we must insist that no armed men be inside with Prince Stephen."
He turned and looked the lead guard in the eye as he continued,
"We mean no insult to you and your men. These are just the orders we received from King Keelin before we left Evandia."
The guard started to object, but the lead gold merchant stopped him.
"That is acceptable," he said as he bowed again. "Our houses that deal with royalty on a regular basis accept these conditions all the time. Please come inside, blessed of Arendar."
Stavin and the gold merchants went inside, followed by Karvik and the guardsmen. They went to a side room, and Stavin accepted tea before they got down to business.
"I am going to need 8 drafts for 100 gold crowns each, made out to the Renadian Traders Guild. I am sponsoring 8 new masters for Host Kal'Aniston. I need another draft for 360 gold crowns, made out to Nestal Zel'Aniston. I am buying my new warehouse from him."
One of the gold merchants interrupted.
"Your forgiveness, blessed one. We understood that you were not going to be involved in trade in this part of Renadia."
"I wasn't, but Cousin Sarana convinced me that there is a need. Cousin Sindal is allowing me to deal with the long-distance trade, while Host Zel'Aniston continues with their local trade."
"That is very good news, blessed one."
Stavin nodded his head.
"I want 10 more 100 gold crown drafts, but leave the recipient blank. I have 20 wagons and ox teams to buy. The remaining 840 crowns I'll need in coin. There's always something unexpected that pops up that requires coin to fix."
The gold merchant stood and bowed, then went to fill Stavin's order. In just a handful of moments, much less than a span, Stavin bowed his thanks to the gold merchants and walked out the door. Karvik and the guardsmen carried the gold while Stavin tucked the drafts inside his mail.
"We're ready to go, men,"
Stavin said as he walked over to True. The royal guardsmen mounted in file, and Stavin motioned for Lovan to lead the way. Stavin turned in the saddle, raised his right hand, and said,
"Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls."
With that he nudged True forward, and followed Lovan out of the city. Once they had been riding for a span down the road, Karvik looked at Stavin and asked,
"Where did that blessing come from?"
Stavin chuckled.
"It's what Lady Sarana said when I spoke the evilest one's name and Arendar's light surrounded me."
Karvik muttered,
"You worry me."
Stavin laughed. They returned to Aniston at an easy pace, and Stavin spent the trip admiring the scenery and basking in the warm sunlight. Lady Sarana met them when they entered the manor, and a well-dressed man waited a short distance behind her.
"Cousin Stephen, this is Nestal Randav, Serval Zel'Aniston,"
she said as she motioned behind her. Nestal bowed very deeply, then said,
"I am honored, Prince Stephen."
Stavin returned the bow, then replied,
"I am pleased to meet you, Lord Nestal. I suppose you've come to discuss the warehouse."
Nestal bowed again.
"Yes, Prince Stephen. Sarana, Sindal, and I have already discussed the property."
Stavin nodded.
"Yes, they both seem to think it will do nicely as Host Kal'Aniston's headquarters in Renedia, and I trust their judgment. I have..."
Stavin paused as he sorted through the packet of drafts.
"A draft made out to you for 360 gold crowns. I understand that is your asking price for the warehouse."
He held the draft out, and Nestal hesitantly took it.
Prince Stephen, I find that I am ashamed of myself, he said as he looked at the floor. I never would have charged